Turn with me then to Numbers chapter 23. The last part of verse 10. The words are those of Balaam. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. This is the striking testimony of an ungodly man. You are about to be amazed at how much Balaam knew about God, how much he knew about the way of life. And although this man knows so much about the things of God, the sad discovery is he did not know the Lord himself as he utters these words. And he never came to know the Lord. His testimony, however, is of great weight. The man is a prophet. This testimony of his is of great weight because he doesn't belong to Israel. He stands yonder on the mountaintop like an independent witness. He's on the outside, as it were, on the outside looking in. In chapter 23 and verse 13, Balak is saying to him, "Come with me to another place from whence thou mayest see them." You'll see the people of God. You'll see Israel. You'll see but the utmost part of them. Thou shalt not see them all. And curse me them from thence. So what he's saying here, Balaam, you're going to be on the outskirts of the crowd. You won't see the entire company of the people of God. But you'll see merely the outermost limits of that congregation. And thus I want you to stand there on the outside looking in. I think these words, as we read them, identify where this man stands. He's an onlooker. He's standing apart from the people of God and not with them. He's looking merely on the outskirts of the crowd. And he cannot see the people of God in depth. There is no question but that God met Balaam. For in this chapter, verse 4, for example, there are the words, "God met Balaam." Again, verse 16 of our chapter, "The Lord met Balaam." It comes well within the scope of our prayers. For those of you who are outside of Christ, that in these meetings, and in your home as well, you might meet with the Lord. Our thinking in this is that you may so hear the Lord speak to you, that you may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. It's just a tragedy that God should meet with any man and speak to him and even put his word in his mouth. For that man all the while to live without the Lord and die at the end as one who never came to know the Lord. This testimony that he gives, and I have said it's a striking testimony, just describes the Christian. And it doesn't have reference to the speaker. For Balaam is a man out of Christ. What disturbs me, among other things, concerning this witness in verse 10, "Let me die the death of the righteous," that if Balaam is praying about salvation at all, he's asking the Lord to save him when he dies. He's leaving it to the last to seek the Lord. Why doesn't the man pray for the Lord to speak to him now unto salvation? And why doesn't he have concern now to live the life of the righteous? For it is a fact, if you don't live the life of the righteous, you'll never die the death of the righteous. And thus I can see Balaam backing off. May I urge you tonight, if you're not a Christian, don't back off from the Lord. If you have to meet the Lord, and you do, It's better that you meet him in grace rather than for you to meet him in judgment. And instead of backing off, as I believe Balaam does here, it is in your interest to run to the Lord and have him take a dealing with your soul. For as I have been at pains to point out, if you don't live the life of the righteous, you'll never die the death of the righteous. And you can only live the life of the righteous by partaking of Christ. I am convinced the more I study this portion that Balaam knew that as he lived, going by his style of life, he could never die the death of the righteous. And therefore Balaam knew that he would die without hope. His prayer then is empty. His prayer is vain. It's a sad prayer. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. If you put off your salvation until it's too late, you have lost your soul. You have missed heaven forever. Oh, Balaam, you did have a marvelous opportunity that day when you met with God. And that was the day you should have closed in with God. That was the day when you should have been saved. That was the day when you should have started to live. You have to live the life of the righteous, Balaam. For it's too late. Too late for you to say, let me die the death of the righteous. When the time comes for me to leave this world, let me leave it with the people of God. You have to make sure of salvation. I have preached this text before. I preached it in the regular service. I certainly have preached it at the graveside. There's no better place to preach this text. For the Lord allows for every child of his, every sinner saved by grace, to leave this world with a testimony. And God blesses the departure of a saint to glory. And I have preached a series on the life of Balaam to our congregation. But I'm going to take a new line tonight. I want to focus your thoughts on what Balaam has to say about the righteous. The big question here is, what does Balaam know about the righteous? He's not speaking blindly or uncertainly. Definitely not. For he pays testimony to the saints of God. There's a very clear, vibrant testimony here when he says, I want to die, I want to leave this world, the way the saints of God leave it. So then he knows. He knows about the people of God. He knows about the way of life. And if we ask the question with reference to Balaam, who are the righteous, Balaam? Who do you have in mind here when you say this? I believe we can get the answer by looking into what the man actually says here when he meets with the Lord. And so I have pieced together some things. I won't have time to go all the way with Balaam here, but we'll be able to say enough. And if I take some of the things that Balaam says when he meets with God, I believe that's what he has in mind. I believe that he ties these very things into the life and into the experience of the child of God. So then, who are the righteous? Look at verse 19. In the first place, they are a people who have come to believe in an infallible and absolutely certain word. For Balaam is saying here, at the latter part of the verse, hath he said, hath God said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Balaam puts this as a question. Let me speak along these lines and just put it directly. What Balaam is saying is this, that what God says he'll do. And whatever the Lord speaks, He'll stand by it. He'll make it good. That means, as far as I'm concerned, there's not a promise in this book, but God will stand over it. There's not an invitation in the Bible, but the Lord will make it good. And when you come to Christ, if you're going to get in among God's people, you have to come by means of the Word. And when you're speaking of faith in Christ, saving faith, you're talking about resting on the Word. Salvation is not by feeling. Nobody here, but nobody, is a Christian because he feels he's saved. May I speak to those of you who are older? May I talk with those who are younger? You're not saved because you feel saved. Salvation's not a matter of feeling. When the sinner comes to the cross, when he is cleansed in the precious blood of Christ, which has atoned for all our sins, he comes to that cross resting firmly and only on the Word of God. And he has the knowledge, as Balaam puts it here in verse 19 at the beginning, that the Lord will never go back on what he says. God's not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. He's not going to change his mind. If the Lord then opens up the door of life and gives you that undertaking that he will receive you and he will make you an heir of his grace, he'll never go back on his word. And the Lord's not lying to you. When, through the words of our Savior, he points to that open door, our Lord Jesus is heard saying in the Gospel, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And there's the door, opening up in front of you. And as sure as you're here tonight, the Lord has said, "If any man enter in through that door is Christ." There's the word for it. And God's not a man that he should lie. He's not going to change his mind. For every promise that he gives, he'll make it good. And if you enter in, you'll be saved. Many a time I have made reference to that marvelous promise in Revelation 3:20. The Lord Jesus is saying there, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." That's a firm undertaking. I have opened my Bible on oh so many occasions. I sat there, it may be in the home, may have been at the end of a meeting, just like this. And I have taken that book, that blessed book, the Bible, and I have said, "Look, here's the invitation of the Savior." And when the Lord gives you this word, he'll never change his mind about it. He'll never go back on what he says. "Behold, I stand at the door." That's your heart's door. "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." And there it is, sure and certain, that if you open the door, the Lord, the King of Glory, will come in. He will come in. And thus the child of God is one who's resting on an infallible word, on a sure undertaking that the Lord has given. One who cannot lie, who'll never go back on the promise. And that's a tremendous thing. And do you know, I said at the start, referring to this striking testimony of Balaam, you stand to be amazed at how much exactly this man really knew about God and the way of life. And he can see it clearly. God's word is absolutely sure. And therefore you may reason, if you come to him and you come to the cross on the strength of that word, the Lord will never go back on his word. Thus, I do believe that when Balaam says, "Let me die the death of the righteous," he's saying, "Lord, let me die like a man who's resting on an unchangeable word, on the word of an omnipotent God who will carry that word through to the last and never go back on it." I see something else. Marvelous words in verse 20. Marvelous words. "Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He's talking about God's people. Balaam speaks of the righteous, and he tells us plainly here that the righteous not only have an infallible word to rest their faith on, and not their feelings, but he says they're blessed. They're blessed of God, and I can't reverse it. Nor can anybody else. There's a little chorus that says, I am blessed. I can't remember how it goes exactly, but I'm going to improvise, and it may be an improvement on the words of the chorus, I don't know. But I am blessed, as sure as I have Jesus, I am blessed when I wake up in the morning, and when I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. And Balaam could see that. These people, I'm only looking at the fringes of them, mind you. From my standpoint up here in the rock, I can only see the outskirts of that vast assembly of the people of God. And they are blessed. And I can't reverse it. The same thing is true of the devil. The devil can't reverse the blessings of God. Oh, the devil can attack a Christian, may even distress him. And some Christians have lost their joy. Some, too, have lost assurance on occasions, but they've never lost Christ. They've never lost their salvation. Because the blessing the Lord gives you has this character to it, it can never be reversed. And I'm glad tonight, if you were to say to me, well, what blessings are these possessed by the Christian? Well, the Christian can say, I have this for my blessings. I have the pardon of all my sins. I have the companionship of the Holy Spirit, Himself the Comforter. I have the guidance of the Bible, the written Word of God. I have a good conscience, for there's absolutely nothing now between my soul and God. I have His peace abiding within. And then beyond that there's heaven, the home of all the redeemed. Oh, I am blessed. And there's not a devil in hell will be able to reverse it. So when Balaam says, Lord, let me die the death of the righteous, he's actually saying, I do believe, he's actually saying, let me die like a man blessed of God, with a blessing that can never, never be undone. Praise the Lord for that. Ah, but I come to the most important thing of all. If you look at verse 21, here is a people. And who could have believed that Balaam would actually see this? Mind you, if I may emphasize the point, he's standing up there on that rocky promontory, looking over the people of God, and they can only see the fringes of the congregation. But he says, these are a people who have come to possess an immaculate righteousness. They have come to possess an immaculate righteousness. And this is the key point in it all. For Balaam is saying, let me die the death of the righteous. And we have to say, what sort of righteousness, Balaam, are you talking about? Verse 21 explains. Verse 21 is about God. And here, as Balaam describes it, God is looking upon that same encampment. God's looking upon His people. All of them. And he's saying this. Balaam is saying this about the Lord. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. There's not a sin that God can see in His saints. I'm talking here about salvation. In reference to their redemption, they are so pardoned and so justified and so made one with Christ and so accepted in the well-beloved that there's not one sin standing in the record against them. That is a powerful thing. maybe even way beyond our conception. But actually then, these people, the people of God, have come into the possession of a spotless righteousness. A righteousness spotlessly white. And God Himself has invested them with this righteousness. Mind you, the enemy can see plenty of faults. And Balak here, who's just like the devil, he can see no good in Israel, but God can. Balak, I say, he's like the modern Yasser Arafat. He resents the presence of Israel in the land. Israel have not done him any harm. Israel has not attacked his cities. Israel has not marched against his people, but he can't stand them. He will not have them anywhere within sight. He cannot tolerate them. And so he says, Balaam, will you come and curse them so that they may be abominated forever? And Balaam is saying here, but these people are in possession of an immaculate righteousness. And I'm asking the question, how come? How come if Balak, I am the devil too? Let me just stick with the devil. If the devil can see plenty of faults in God's people, how come? How come that God, who can see all things, cannot see any fault in them? How can the enemy see the flaws? And God Almighty, who sees everything, can see no fault in them? How come? Can we get time just to keep a finger in this chapter of Numbers and rush across to Revelation 7 and 14? I'll just take the one portion here. It's the latter part of verse 14. It's Revelation 7. Revelation 7, verse 14. And what I'm saying is, how come that these people, guilty sinners, once under wrath and condemnation, how come that they can actually be possessed of such a spotlessly white righteousness that God Almighty can see no fault in them? He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. God hasn't seen sin there. The answer is here at the end of verse 14. You see, God has put away their sin. When He put away all their sin, He put away every bit of it. The Scripture saying of these saints in glory, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, it's not so with the sinner. It says of the world, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. God says of Balaam, this is an interesting thing, going back to Numbers, look at chapter 22 and verse 30. Verse 32, Numbers 22. The last part of verse 32. I say this is a very, very striking thing. That God says here of Balaam, thy way, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. So there are two different views here. What God sees of Israel and what God sees of Balaam. When the Lord looks upon Israel, it says, He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath He seen perverseness in Israel. Well, when it comes to Balaam, the Lord is saying, Balaam, thy way is perverse before me. Have you got it? Chapter 22, verse 32, thy way is perverse. Hence, if you're unconverted, the record of your sin stands there. It's like a shadowy page of woe. All your transgressions, the sins of thought and word and deed are recorded there in that page. And every one of them is before God. And if you were to die tonight, you can't die the death of the righteous, because your sins are there and you'll have to answer for every one of them. Well, when it comes to the believer, because he can say, there was a day when I went to Calvary, and knelt at the cross, met the Savior there. And the Lord came, and with His precious blood, He washed this guilty heart of mine, and made me to be free from all my sins. And the Lord has put away all my sin to such a degree that God, our Heavenly Father, when He looks on that one, cleansed in the blood, there's not a spot or stain remaining. There's not a thing. He has seen no iniquity in Israel, and He has observed no perverseness in Jacob. How is it with you? And the Lord looks down from high heaven upon your soul tonight. How do you stand with God? Is your sin still there? Let me think about Balaam. Let me die the death of the righteous. And what he's saying then in effect is, let me die as a man who has an infallibly certain word. And let me die with the blessing of God that can't be reversed. And when I die, let me die with that spotless righteousness, with not one stain that the saints of God have. Let me die that death, the death of the righteous. And Balaam, you're not asking the Lord to do it now. That's your big mistake. There are other things I'll just mention in passing. And Balaam, when he desired the death of the righteous, he wanted to die like a people whom the devil cannot harm. Look at verse 23. And verse 23 says, there's no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. There isn't a demon in hell can assail the saints, and so assail the saints as to rob them of Christ. The devil can't touch you. The devil can't harm the child of God. Oh yes, as I've said, there is a believer there with distress of mind. And there may be a child of God who has been robbed for the time being of his joy in the Lord, but there's not a devil in hell can rob that sinner saved by grace of his knowledge of Christ. There's not a devil in hell can touch him. And that's a tremendous thing. Verse 23. There are people who are so saved as to have the onlooker say, look at what the Lord has done, what God hath wrought for him. That's a testimony. And lastly, verse 10, these people are a people safe for all eternity. For Balaam, when he talks about dying the death of the righteous, is thinking about a soul. Oh, Balaam knew about the righteous. He knew about how the righteous die, and he knew about eternity. He knew it is the right way to die if the soul is right with God. That's what he's saying here. But I take it that Balaam is not only speaking of the death of the righteous, but what comes after. In the words, let me die the death of the righteous. That's the dying experience of the Christian. And then what follows? Let my last end. That must describe what comes after. What comes after death? And he says, let me be like the believer there, safe for all eternity. Balaam here speaks about his soul. And he's troubled not just about death, but what comes after. His last end. What comes after death? That's what troubles the ungodly man. For what comes after death stands forever. Balaam confesses his sin. He never gets rid of the burden. He speaks of the way that he's taken. And he's saying, in effect, I didn't know, Lord, that my way was vexing to thee. But he does. For the Lord said, don't you go. Don't you go. And he closes his ears to the voice of God. He solidly, foolishly, stubbornly, wicked, plows on in his way without the Lord. He's going to live without the Lord. and he will die without the Lord. If I talk of Balaam tonight, I talk about a man who met with God. A man to whom God spoke in a powerful way. In fact, God actually put his word into his mouth. And for all that, he never came to know the Lord. I pray, God, that you live the life of the righteous. And more than that, when it comes to your soul departing from this world, that you'll go to be with Christ. That you'll have the testimony of having lived for the Lord, as well as being with him in your very last hour. What about eternity? For Balaam is saying here, this is a people safe for all eternity. Let me die that way. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end, my hereafter, my eternity, be like his. Let's bow in prayer. And as we bow in God's presence tonight, do you have a clear testimony as to your knowledge of Christ? Can you say with certainty, I have God's peace, and I have a clear conscience, there's nothing between me and my God now. I'm a child of the King. I can not only talk about the death of the righteous, I can tell you about how they're saved, and I know what God has done for every believer. For he has done this for me. Wouldn't you like to be saved? Wouldn't you like to be a Christian? The Lord Jesus promises, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And if you take that step, if you come, he will not cast you out. The Lord will never go back on his word. He's not lying to you. If you come now, he'll take you in. You need to come. May the Lord give you help tonight. Do talk to me. And let me take the book and show you how to be saved. We're going to sing in closing part of the hymn 238. I passing onward, quickly passing, but I ask thee whither bound? Is it to the many mansions where eternal rest is found? Verses 1 and 3 only tonight, 238. Oh, let's hear the best singing of the day as we rise, everyone joining in.
Passing onward, quickly passing, but I ask thee whither bound? Is it to the many mansions where eternal rest is found? Passing onward, passing onward, tell me, sinner, whither bound?
Stand still, you see. Men and women, we're all travelers. We're all travelers on the road to eternity. And you need to make sure of your eternal destiny. You do need to be clear as to how you stand with God. We've just entered into a new year. And how are you going to live during this new year? As a child of God, are you like Balaam? You know so much about the things of God, and yet you're away there beyond the outskirts of the crowd. You're not among God's people. You have no real living, abiding hope in Christ. I'd like you to stay tonight. Get the matter all cleared up. Oh Lord, tarry with us. Use thy word. Bless the testimony tonight from Scripture. We ask thee to touch our hearts and help us, Lord, to rise up and come and to rest on the word of a God who'll never go back on all that he has promised, but rather who will make good every word. Lord, let us rest on thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.